Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Cadillac Anderson, David Thirdkill, Joey Devine, Paul Mokeski, Lorenzo Romar, Sean Keane, Harvey Catchings, Sherman Douglas, the General, Patreons, Carl Blumenthal, Duncan Carl, Lee, thank you Lee, Drake Campbell, thank you Drake, musical guest, The Promise Ring! And now, the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine!
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast. And who knew I was bad at hitting the fade out button while talking at the same time? I'm here, as always, with a brand new episode of Round Ball Rock. Just some business off the top, because I always forget to do it. 5 stars on iTunes. It really helps. We need to get back on those chartable charts.
Yeah,
because I am itching to make drops about weird countries. So please, if you're in a country that does not have a lot of podcast listens, hit download, hit 5 stars. Maybe we'll get in the charts and I'll have to learn some fun facts about your country.
Also, I'd like to announce a promotion.
Okay.
If we get good iTunes reviews, I will read them in some funny voice. Yeah, I'll do it in the voice of some unnamed actor, sports figure, political figure.
Oh, great.
Five star reviews on iTunes.
Actually, I'm also asking for 5 star reviews because a guy who hates the Who Cares About the Rock Hall podcast wrote an anti-Semitic one about us, and I'd like to push that down, even though neither Sean or I are Jewish.
No.
And not in a fake anti-Semitic way like Congress says. All right. let's just say the title of it is Jewish Voices About My Voice. All right.
And then, and it's signed Elon Musk.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's weird.
But other than that, 5 star reviews, patreon.com/roundrockpod is where you can hear us talk about Jack Reacher. It's back starting next week, right, John? It's like Thanksgiving turkeys. I believe it's next week
the show comes back in 8 days. In a week. It premieres next Friday.
Right when they waited for Hanukkah to end. So it's actually 9 crazy nights this year. patreon.com/roundrockpod is where you can see that. T-shirt store in the description. Follow us on X or Twitter. Why did I call it X? What is wrong with me? Follow us on Twitter.
Elon's review got you.
At roundrockpod. Email us at roundrockpod@gmail.com. And Sean, you shouldn't be talking because I haven't introduced you yet. That voice you're hearing now is my co-host, my best friend and yours, America's Uncle Dad, Sean Keane. Sean, we're recording this at 11:44 on Thursday, December 7th, and I wanted to ask you, how's your in-season tournament fever going?
You know, it was ill-timed, I feel like.
Well, we'll talk about that when we get to the actual show. I just want to know about the actual disease you have.
I got to say, 99, I got a temperature of 99.9 degrees right now.
Okay, that's not that high. All right.
I'm not hot-blooded, exactly.
Before we start talking basketball, though, actually, before we start, I want to talk some basketball, actually, before we get to reader mail. Sean, question for you. You're a Warriors fan, and you're paid to blog about them, so someone is luckily paying you to watch this miserable team.
That is true.
So, a week ago, in the in-season tournament, Steve Kerr was planning on not playing Moses Moody at all, and then Moses Moody came in the Kings game and hit a million shots. And
he did hit a million shots.
Even though he was not supposed to be in the rotation. And the Warriors almost didn't lose a game they should have won because of Moses Moody. And then, 2 days ago...
Well, remember, he benched Moses Moody in order to lose the game.
Yeah, well, yes. I didn't want to get to that part because... Yeah. Because what happened this week to the Golden State Warriors is they were playing the Portland Trailblazers, and Steve Kerr had decided, Jonathan Kuminga is out of the rotation.
He's out of the rotation.
He sat for 31 straight minutes while the Warriors, lost, were down like 11 points to the Portland Trailblazers the entire game. He got desperate and put Jonathan Kuminga in, who then proceeded to basically single-handedly win the game.
He didn't ever come out of the game,
yeah,
did he?
Yeah, after being put in, no, he
did not. That's so funny to not play him for 32 minutes.
Yeah.
31 minutes or whenever he came in, and then just to not take him out. Like,
well, they couldn't afford to take him out because...
No, they couldn't have, because...
He was the only good player other than Steph Curry in the game.
I mean, they couldn't hold off the powerhouse Portland Trailblazers without Jonathan Kuminga just dunking over and over again.
Yeah. So my question for you, Sean, is if you were Kenny Atkinson, Steve Kerr's lead assistant...
Yes.
Would you... In the coach's meeting, ask Steve Kerr who he was planning on taking out of the rotation, and then secretly on the rotation piece of paper, swap that person into the starting lineup?
Yes, yes, 100%. Well, Steve Kerr finally said after the game that there might be some changes to the starting lineup, who have not been a great group this year, even though they were a very good group last year. I gotta say, Klay Thompson has been so rough.
Yeah, really bad.
And
Andrew Wiggins, but also really bad.
But at the same time, I don't think it's a reluctance to mess with the starting lineup that's exactly a problem, as much as it is playing your two lottery picks from the 2021 draft. Like, just play them 15 minutes.
Well, that's... he loves playing more, Brandon Pajemski, because he played two good games in a month.
It's just, it's baffling to me. It's like, you would think they'd want, again, you would think they might want to just cut some of their older struggling guys' minutes. I'm not even saying bench them, but... Maybe play the young athletic guys a little more. Well, maybe that's why he'll play Brandon, because he's terrible athlete. Yeah, yeah. He's a good player, don't get me wrong, but it's like they want their whole vibe to be tiny and slow.
Yeah.
And Moody's not even really that fast.
Let's make it like, it's just in comparison, he seems fast.
Well, he's at least like a 21-year-old man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not
But also
he's not out of breath the
while
same
we're talking
way.
About slow, I actually think the problem with this team, other than Steve Kerr not wanting to play good players all the time.
Or, like, maybe be a basketball coach anymore. Can we maybe say that? Like, is he... We don't really hear a lot about his contract because he's like, God damn, Bob Myers beat me to it. did you hear, by the way, did you, oh, go ahead. Sorry. Say what you're going to say.
I think the problem actually is, Sean, did you know that the Golden State Warriors are the slowest paced team in the league?
Wait, really?
Yes.
It's crazy they turn the ball over as much as they do then. Is that because of the Chris Paul bench lineup?
No, that is just because of Chris Paul. He's played so much, and instead of... And look, Chris Paul has actually been one of their good players, actually. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think he's good with Steph Curry, but, you know, you have to play Chris Paul sometimes. But the team has decided to become, like... Chris Paul is so strong-willed, he's taken a team that has four championship rings and bent them to his style of play, instead of even when he's not playing, instead of the other way around. Well, and I think that's sort of the problem.
Well, that's impressive, but also, like, can you still be playing at that fast a pace when your guys are getting pacemakers installed? You know what I mean? Like, that's... Like, are they just wondering how much running they can literally do?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to bring this up before the news because I think I'm going to start doing a new Patreon, Sean, where after games, I'm going to talk occasionally. I'm going to talk to our friends who are fans of the teams the Golden State Warriors played for about 20 minutes, and I'm going to ask them the question... How shitty do you think the Warriors are?
No, that's a good game.
Yep. So stay tuned. I'll have someone after the Oklahoma City Thunder game this weekend, hopefully.
Pretty exciting. Yeah. I personally will be recording kind of an unusual version of Round Book Rock this weekend. Mm-hmm. Because normally I talk with Corbin about sports books, and I just want to describe to our listeners all the very strange things that are in the unabridged Victor Hugo novel, Les Miserables.
Okay, great.
He's working out a lot of weird stuff. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, we've got some stuff coming on the Patreon. Mm-hmm. I know we're not always consistent with it, but we're working on it. We promise.
And this like Thanksgiving turkeys.
That's gonna save us all.
Gonna come hard.
All right, Sean. Before we get to the news, let's do some reader mail. We haven't done reader mail in a long time.
This is Round Ball Rock Reader Mail. Communications from listeners. Why do we call it Reader Mail? It is confusing for robots.
All right, Sean, our first question comes from our friend Della Muka, who asked, what's the award the NBA will create specifically for Lame Dillard in this tournament?
Ooh.
Well, we'll get to this in the news, but it's Best Locker Room Leaker.
Yeah, the Hanes Across America award. Well, we'll get to this specifically. Let's table this one until we talk about the result of the game. But we'll get back to this one.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Our friend John L. asks, now that it's officially out, which NBA players will buy a Cybertruck? I can tell you right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I was very saddened to open my Instagram feed last week. Do not friend me on Instagram. That's just for me and people I actually know. So if you find me on there, I'm sorry. I'm not going to accept your friend request.
Yeah.
I got to keep one for me. You know what I mean? But I opened up my Instagram and I saw Spike Lee had purchased a Cybertruck.
I mean... That was amazing. seeing the picture of Jay Leno looking like a tiny doll in the Cybertruck.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, look, David Letterman, that at the height of Aunt Letterman Leno craziness would have been making jokes about how Leno's in a Cybertruck, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, also, he himself would just be like dropping things off the top of a building onto the Cybertruck, yeah. But not actually believe that driving one is cool. Yeah. Now, I mean, David Letterman has like a racing team and is really into cars, but is still like not even in the same like Dorktown level as Jay Leno. Like, yeah. David Letterman's regular car, I think, is like a Volt.
Yeah.
David, he's like, well, I do accept. He like knows that climate change is real, and Jay Leno's like, I'm gonna burn my face off in a garage or in this Elon Musk Cybertruck. However, I can get the closest to a Richard Pryor-esque disaster. Mm-hmm. He's freebasing classic cars, though. That's the difference.
I think there's a very easy. There are two very easy answers for this, though.
Yeah, let me tell you. There's two retired players for sure. Well retired
well,
and/or blackballed
current players that definitely. Have
let me give you the retired ones because you're Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah,
100% would get a Cybertruck. And Enes Kanter would also get a Cybertruck, even though I'm not even sure it's legal to drive in New York City, where he and his Rockefeller girlfriend and conservative think tank backers are. But he would just do it for the virtue signaling.
Okay, now I think the two current players that definitely have ordered a Cybertruck are Rudy Gobert, because the Cybertruck is the car of the Joe Rogan podcast. Right,
right, right, right. Yeah.
And he is the league's biggest Joe Rogan fan. And I think Spencer Dinwiddie is also buying a Cybertruck.
Those are both
It's the crypto of cars.
It is the crypto of cars. They're so ugly. That's the
weirdest
thing about
them. You
know
what? Steph Curry also buying a Cybertruck, I think. Unfortunately.
Yeah, he might get a Cybertruck.
He's a NIMBY. He owned all those monkeys. He owned all the apes.
Apes? I just didn't.
In fact, we're lucky the season had started, because Steph Curry definitely would have been blinded at that ape conference by the UV lights.
That's true. Who do you think is the least likely to get a Cybertruck?
Oh, great question. Steven Adams.
Yes.
Right?
That's a very good answer. Historically, Matt Bonner would be the least likely, I think. I don't really think I could see either. Well, I was going to say not. I could see like Mo and Franz Wagner sharing a Cybertruck, but just squabbling over it all the time about who gets to drive. And like, maybe they don't fit inside.
You know who I actually think is high on the won't own a Cybertruck list?
Who's that?
I think LeBron James is actually like a top five wouldn't own a Cybertruck guy.
Why? Because he's a Hummer guy?
He's just so online, he would know not to get one. You know what I mean?
But if he's like, it seems Hummer adjacent to me. That's all I would say.
I think he knows there's something bad about it, but doesn't know what it is. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, And I just think being like you bum Trump guy, calling Trump a bum guy, you're not getting a Cybertruck. You know what I mean?
I gotta say, congratulations to LeBron James for his very strong gun control stance today.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, good job, buddy.
And also, thank God Steve Kerr wasn't in the in-season tournament, because he would have spent a lot of time drafting a gun control statement and then forgetting that Moses Moody was on his
existed.
Roster.
Existed. Do the Lakers play on Sunday? I forgot.
They play on Saturday.
Oh, good job. Good job, NBA schedule lucked out, because you know what happens Sunday, Sean.
Well, it's the in-season tournament final on Saturday.
Well,
Joey.
But I know, but they lucked out that the schedule makers, because you know, what happens on Sunday. Bronny James makes his college debut.
Oh, he's making his debut.
And
good,
LeBron
good for
said
Bronny
he
too.
Would skip his game to make it. So they really dodged a bullet that USC didn't play on Saturday because LeBron James might have been skipping the in-season tournament.
Wow, that would have been the best. Oh, that would have been good. Oh, boy. Boy, he really kicked ass tonight, but
we'll talk about it later.
You're right. We're still in reader mail.
Yeah. Well, we're actually at reader voicemail. It's call us on the phone time.
Do you know who would have, you who historically would have been the number one Cybertruck guy, even though it wouldn't be to drive? Chris Kamen. And Chris Kamen would just spend weekend like shooting rockets at it. Yeah.
Well, you know who else I think would actually buy a Cybertruck? Is Tim Duncan absolutely would buy a Cybertruck.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because
he would know nothing about the politics of it, but he'd want it. It's the most car you could make look like the Punisher skull.
And could you like have a LAN party from your Cybertruck?
Yeah, exactly.
You have like all your Cybertrucks in a circle. Yeah.
Sean, do you
like,
think
can
any
you play
NBA
Diablo
player
in this thing?
Sean, do you think any NBA player has used Grok yet?
As a verb?
No. Do you not know Grok?
I know the novel Stranger in a Strange Land, but no, I do not know what Grok is.
Grok is the Twitter AI that's like dirty. It does like it's basically ChatGPT, but then it does like a Family Guy joke while answering your question that Elon Musk had.
Oh God! Oh, that's really dorky. I thought it was like when you said it was AI but dirty. I thought it was like those porn generators where like a horse with a lady's boobs. You know?
No.
Oh, so it's just like terrible canned jokes.
Yeah, hold on, let me see results. What were some of Elon Musk? I have him blocked on Twitter, hold on. Which, by the way, you know what makes you feel much better, and I did this before he even owned Twitter. Blocking Elon Musk on Twitter made Twitter a much better place. But he like had some tweet, it was like, meet Grok. He's an AI who will answer all your questions, but watch out, his answers might be unwoke or whatever. Anyway, do you think any NBA player has used Grok?
Maybe DeAndre Ayton, like accidentally. I feel like he's like in front of a screen basically whenever he's not literally playing basketball. God, who would ask questions on Grok? I mean, like, I wonder if...
I mean, Innis Freedom has definitely used Grok.
He'll just do anything. Yeah, but that's a different thing. Who else would use... I could see Jordan Poole thinking it would be like... But all his questions are just like, where the ladies at? Where are the baddies?
So, yeah, let me read you... So here's a blue check using Grok.
Cringy.
Are you ready?
Jesus
it's
Christ.
The worst. It's ChatGPT, but cringe. So some guy asked Grok, what is 4+5? And then Grok said, 4+5 is 9. A rather simple calculation, even for a human. And then the blue check said, no, my wife says it's 12. Then Grok said, ah, the complexities of human relationships. In that case, the answer is most definitely 12. Remember, happy wife, happy life. I want to kill myself. Oh, we're going to get
it. It's like, he's the worst. He's the, just like, why does he care about being funny? He's just not funny, but he tries so hard. Like, just be rich. How is it that much of a thrill?
It's the worst. Anyway, let's do some reader phone calls so I don't walk into the ocean.
Shh. Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call. Being a robot is a solitary road.
Our first call comes from our friend, John L. Or, sorry, Forrest. Our friend Forrest, America's number one Kingdom Hearts fan and number three Rockets fan. let's hear what our friend Forrest has to say. Follow him on Twitter at DoNots and watch him stream JRPG games and occasionally Lies of P, the game where you play as Hot Pinocchio.
Hot Pinocchio, that's, it's so weird.
Uh-huh, I love Lies of P as a theory. I would never play it. Anyway, well, let's hear what Forrest has to say.
Hey, Joey, hey, Sean, hey, whatever guest you may have on right now who is very cool, and I'm excited to listen to you. It's Forrest again. You know me. I'm a Rockets fan. I'm here. I have a little update for you. Okay, and a little bit of appreciation as well, because it's been it was really fun to be a Rockets fan for a minute, but right now it's really unfun because I keep losing, which is a real bummer. So I've been having a bad time the last week or so, but then I heard you call Dallas a backwater. You said Dallas is a backwater. And that was the best thing that's happened to me in about 6 months. So that was really cool. I wanted to thank you for that. It gave me some life. And, I look forward to every single episode of this, which is the best podcast in the world. Thanks, guys. And keep it up.
The FBI tried to bleep out him saying that we're the best podcast in the world, but I heard it. Yeah. Sean, well, first off, thank you so much, Forrest. We will shit on Dallas or any city you listeners want if you call us the best podcast in the world.
Yeah,
because guess what, Sean and I want more than anything to be loved. That's why we do this. That's why we
love.
Got into this.
We don't get enough.
Sean, did you learn something after calling Dallas a backwater, though?
I did. I learned that I'll be visiting Dallas this May for a wedding. Mm-hmm. I'll be going to a suburb of Dallas, Texas, and there's a wedding event where you learn to do the Texas two-step, because of course there is in Dallas, Texas. I also have to do that 3 weeks before my own wedding, Joey. Mm. The family's very nice, and I will report back on how much of a backwater it is or is not.
Well, I actually have an announcement too, Sean. I'm actually going to Dallas too, but it's actually through my friend Al's closet in his diner. I'm going back to Dallas in 1958 to try and stop the assassination of John F. Kennedy.
Now that seems like the perfect time to go. You can kill baby Lee Harvey Oswald, right? Is that what you do?
No, because I can only go back to 1958. So I have to become a teacher in a different small town and fall in love for a while.
Right.
Before I try and stop the president from being assassinated while also having diarrhea, a thing that happens in that book. All right.
Shouldn't you just be making insane sports parlay bets? Which won't attract attention at all? Okay.
No, actually, I believe there's a literal plot point in that movie where he, like, sings the Rolling Stones, like, 5 years before they come out or something.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, really good Stephen King book. It's one. It's in his top 12 books for sure.
And the Hulu adaptation, James Franco is miscast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. There wasn't much James Franco wasn't miscast in, though, let's be honest. All right, we also got a call from our friend Henry about Sean. We've talked about him a lot on this podcast. It's about our friend and yours, a man with zero charisma, but who is incredible at exploiting algorithms. It's a... Mr. Beast. Let's see what Henry had to say about Mr. Beast. Also, if you are a YouTuber and you would like to give us money to sponsor this show, let us know. DM us at RoundRockPod or email us at RoundRockPod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Here's our friend Henry.
Hey, guys. It's Henry. I had to call to give an important piece of Mr. Beast-related news. The company D's Nuts, D-E-E apostrophe S, in which a smiling grandmother tells you there's forms of nuts, is suing Mr. Beast, and I guess more specifically Feastables, for trademark infringement with their D's Nuts candy bar. So I'd like to know what team is D's Nuts, D-E-E apostrophe S, going to sponsor. Thanks.
Great question. First off, though, Henry, I hope whoever was chasing you, I hope you got away from him. I liked the urgency with which you called us. It's like found out that information and you ran to the nearest payphone to let us know.
Henry actually was going to earn $15,000 if he ran continuously and talked on phones for 45 minutes, according to one of those great pranks.
They're not pranks. They're
challenges.
It's altruism, Sean.
Oh.
Everything with Mr. Beast is about pretending to give poor people money when actually you're exploiting them. All right. I hope that guy is still not living in that grocery store. Look, I won't click on that video. For Sean, who should D's Nuts of Jersey's sponsor? Who's the opposite of the Charlotte Hornets?
Yeah. Well, I actually think that they should sponsor the Golden State Warriors. Because who hits people in D's Nuts more than Draymond Green and Chris Paul? Dylan Brooks. Maybe Dylan Brooks. So maybe the Rockets.
I don't think Dylan Brooks does it more. I think Chris Paul is a several time offender. Sean.
Yeah, but I guess Dylan Brooks has done it like 3 times in the last 6 months. He hit Donovan Mitchell in the nuts last year. He hit LeBron in the nuts. He got ejected from a preseason game for hitting Daniel Theis in the nuts. Like, he's got 3 in the calendar year.
Yeah, but Chris Paul's the goat at it. He was doing it in college.
Oh, yeah. He's a pioneer, obviously. That's why he needs to be playing above anyone young.
He's the god sham god of punching people in the nuts.
That's true. They call that move the CP2. You know what I mean?
But seriously, I actually think I like the joke. I think it's good. But I want to answer the question, what team is the opposite of the Charlotte Hornets?
Oh.
To the Hornets is yang?
Oh, just being a team of, like, terrible people, you mean?
Yeah, like what's doomed... the... And also, yeah, like a team that's competently run?
Like... So the guy who tried to kill GameStop, just employing a team of felons, basically. Yeah. So who would that be? I mean,
Indiana Pacers?
That's what I was thinking of saying that. I like who's I feel like a lot of the Denver Nuggets have that vibe, but they're not like innocent enough. You know what I mean? Like Aaron Gordon, I just feel like his private life, not that he's like committed any criminal acts, but doesn't Aaron Gordon just seem like he probably has like very sleazy interests?
Well, also the old woman D who makes D's nuts, I'm assuming, doesn't want to be catered to, like party to a man who scams high school children out of their graduation presents on NBA 2K.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about
Michael Porter Jr.'s
that's,
thing.
That's too much.
Everyone look up Michael Porter Jr. 2K Hustle if you don't know what we're talking about.
I think it maybe has to be the Pacers.
Like, I actually think the Blazers, too, are pretty good.
Yeah, I think,
except well, Chauncey Billups is their coach, so they're out. Actually,
yeah,
I think you're
all,
right.
Every
it's
team's
the
objectionable. Yeah,
yeah. Tyrese Halliburton is kind of, like, LaMelo Ball's like if they're the movie Twins, he's the Arnold Schwarzenegger at this point, right?
I mean. Yeah, it's like
same draft.
like what is going on with his ankles, by the way, Joey? Does he need the Steph Curry surgery?
I don't know. I feel bad for him.
Oh, you know what he needs?
So he needs to cover up that tattoo.
Go ahead. Can I throw something out there for you? Oh, yeah, he does need to cover up that tattoo. That's disgraceful.
Yeah, it's...
I think
the thing that the commissioner needs to be... stepping in to make sure the Charlotte Hornets do for sure.
Yeah.
Their own player's body.
I don't think Steve Clifford is long for the NBA coaching
for this
profession.
World?
Or not. Well, I mean, if he stays in Charlotte, yes, he is not. So I could definitely see next year Hornets, relatively new owner, wants to make a splash. Your coach of the 2024-25 Charlotte Hornets. He's been out of work for a while, and he's going to anoint LaMelo Ball's ankle with sacred oil, Mark Jackson.
I would agree with that, but I think that new owner is going to be like real analytics creep. Like, he's going to hire Sam Hinkie. Or something, you know what I mean? I just get a bad, they're bad vibes. Anyway, no more talking about the Hornets. Yeah. Anyway, we support Dee's Nuts in her suing of Mr. Beast.
Yeah.
And then finally, or no, we've got two more. Our friend John Sullivan, speaking of Sam Hinkie, had a question about Sam Hinkie.
Hey, Roundball, John Sullivan here. My question's about Sam Hinkie. So the NBA made the Sixers fire Hinkie so they'd be a less publicly embarrassing franchise. Mm-hmm. And since then, they had to fire one GM because his wife created a Twitter burner to white knight for him. And the current GM has gotten in two consecutive public fights with star players that he's lost in, like, pretty embarrassing fashion. So I guess my question is, would the Sixers be in better position now if they'd have just kept Hinkie because he wouldn't have been publicly squabbling with two different star players? Well, hang up and listen.
No, because Sam Hinkie would also be posting embarrassing AI art he made, which is what Daryl Morey was doing this week. Also, Sam Hinkie would not have drafted Tyrese Maxey, which is what's saving that team, because he does not play the position of center, the only position that Sam Hinkie would draft.
It's what you need. Look, it paid off, Joey. It was either centers or people who shoot like centers. That was all that Philly would take in the lottery for a long time. And finally, they were, you know what, Joey? You could argue that they were saved by the opposite of the process, which was winning games, ending up drafting like in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting a normal good basketball player instead of a weird art project. That's really like the, I mean, I understand the logic behind the process, but just look at most of the guys who get drafted number two in the draft, and you're like, oh, this is a, it's tough to thread this needle here.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Chet, you know? Real outlier so far, gotta say.
Chet and Ja, but yeah. If you look back, it's like the Beat,
James
Wiseman, Swift, yeah, James Wiseman, Derek Williams, you know, it's just, yeah. It is a wasteland, like for a long time. Len Bias, that was a mm-hmm. terrible choice, Joey.
Why was that?
Thumbs down on that choice. The analytics hated him in Maryland.
All right.
He was the guy that told Larry Bird that he could fix his mom's driveway by himself, too. That's like the hidden thing.
Okay. He was doing Len Bias jokes right now, Sean. We've got too much to talk about.
You're right.
Including Diet Coke from our friend Mike Burkett. Here we go.
Uh-huh. Hey, Sean. Hey, Joey. It's Mike from Portland. Calling to say happy new season, happy basketball. And my question for you today is, who is the NBA's most Diet Coke guy? And I don't mean managers or coaches. I mean players. Which player is the guy that only drinks like 4 Diet Cokes in a day? Anyways, good to have basketball back. Love you too. I'll take my answer off the air.
Holy shit. This is the best question we've gotten in a really long time. Because the Diet Coke guy is a very specific type of guy. Or gal. Or they. Diet Coke they also.
I have an immediate thought.
Go ahead.
Watching him tonight, the energy he had, and I think TJ McConnell is a big Diet Coke guy.
He's got
that deli energy, but I don't think he would try to actually drink coffee at halftime, but I could see him just like rolling with a DC all the time.
See, I think TJ McConnell is like a full Coke guy though, like not the drug. I think he wants he doesn't want that unleaded. To me, a Diet Coke person
uh-huh.
is like a Kathy, you know what I mean? It's like the same kind of like no impulse control, but also self-hatred.
Okay, so I will say one of the preeminent Diet Coke guys in recent sports history. Joey, do you remember San Francisco 49ers head coach Jim Tom Sula?
Exactly, so Sean.
He would famously stay up all night crunching tape. And what he would do is he would chug liter bottles of Diet Coke and chew tobacco to keep himself awake. And then he would also like walk on a treadmill in his office. He was feeling too sleepy. And when I say office, I'm probably being generous about his setup. Yeah. I like an office usually has like a door, you know, it's not like
an unfinished basement.
Well, he lived like a farm animal, so why not work like a farm animal, too? Okay.
Do you know
so
what
I'm,
I mean?
I'm gonna reorient
it's a lack
that.
Of impulse control, so, but also self-hatred in that you won't allow yourself full pleasure.
Right. Like, Nikola Jokic quit all soda.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just decided that, like, looking at horses would be enough for him. But, like, there's a certain amount of like surrender to it too, where you're like, I know this isn't good, or I've tricked myself into liking this.
Do
you think Obi Toppin could be a Diet Coke
guy? No, absolutely not. He's like, he's too cool.
Maybe I should pick someone not on the Indiana Pacers, Jerry.
I think, okay. I don't think this guy is a Diet Coke guy yet, but he's going to be a Diet Coke guy, and DeAndre Ayton.
Ooh,
now is like a Mountain Dew guy, but he will be a Diet Coke guy.
Yeah, because he's going to be like, I got to turn around. I'm 24 years old, but I still got to. Any like he seems like he needs a lot of caffeine because he's constantly like taking a 2-hour nap in between his 2K games. Yeah, he's a future one.
Curry, I think the most Diet Coke guy ever in the NBA.
Yeah, that one's. I think like.
Okay, you know who I think is a Diet Coke guy?
Okay.
I think Fred VanVleet is a Diet Coke guy.
Wow. Like, that's his vice?
Just like.
Like, he said he's from Rockford, Illinois, and he's. I mean,
he's just like, oh, I'm older. I got to start cutting the pounds.
I think he might be like a Diet RC guy. Yeah. He could be like that weird. Do you think James Wiseman drinks Diet Coke, Joey?
No, he's like,
The shakes.
I think James Wiseman only consumes Soylent.
And the Warriors were like, that's why he's better than Tyrese Haliburton.
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened with Bob Myers today?
No, what happened with Bob Myers today?
They were combining the TNT and ESPN crews.
Mm-hmm. He got roasted, didn't he?
Charles Barkley congratulated him for leaving the Titanic. And then Bob Myers said, hey, I got a lot of friends over there. And Charles Barkley said, well, you're going to be seeing him pretty soon.
Did you see Charles Barkley interviewing Blinken today about Israel-Palestine?
Wait, what?
With Gail? Yeah, dude.
Oh, that show premiered now?
Yeah, and Blinken was on, and Charles was not doing let's just say he wasn't pressing Blinken on civilian casualties the way he was pressing Adam Silver on the Charlotte Hornets domestic violence situation. Let's just say that. You know what? It's not really his job. That's weird that's happening. Our world is insane. You know who I think is a Diet Coke guy now, Sean? In fact, I think this is a strange one because it's a team of young guys.
Okay.
And they're exciting and they're good. But I kind of feel like the Orlando Magic in general are like all Diet Coke guys.
Oh yeah, I bet there's some weird like deal they have with,
like, they learned Amway it from Fultz. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I cut out soda and brought Diet Coke in. Uh-huh. Or no, even better, Gary Harris is who taught them to be Diet Coke guys. Gary Harris is
like, look.
Gary Harris absolutely a Diet Coke guy.
By the way, how old do you think Gary Harris is right
now? He's not very old. He's like 27.
Right. I mean, he's now 29, but
yeah,
he's been the youngest grizzled veteran of his generation.
Yeah. Well,
we're like,
it's him or Otto Porter, but yes.
Yeah, Otto Porter also not really very old. I think he's like 31 now, but yeah, he. I mean, look, the king of that is Kevon Looney.
Oh, Diet Coke guy, total Diet Coke guy.
Absolute Diet Coke guy.
You know what? He's the number one Diet Coke guy, I think, in the league.
Wow. Okay.
Him or Kobe White?
I think
Kobe,
like,
White cut his hair and he also cut out the sugar, but he kept the soda intake.
I bet Boylan can't stop drinking soda. So I bet anyone who was retained in that administration was like, there was a lot of crazy stuff, but also they had like the 20-ounce plastic bottles. That was tight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Sean, it's enough not talking about the in-season tournament.
Yeah.
Let's, talk about the in-season tournament.
Yeah.
Hold on, I gotta put the news drop.
I forgot we had a drop.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots.
trust the process.
All right, Sean, I gotta say the games were great tonight. There were so many, just so many games. Sean, what do you think about the games tonight?
I did not watch a meaningful portion of the Lakers game because I had a show and the Lakers were blowing them out very early. The Bucks-Pacers game was wildly entertaining.
What, the Bucks and Pacers played tonight? I was talking about the games. Baldur's Gate 3, of course, won Game of the Year at the Game Awards tonight. Alan Wake 2, my personal Game of the Year, took home 3 Game of the Year awards. Yeah. Hi-Fi Rush, Best Audio Design. Congrats, Neil Newbon. Neil Newbon, of course, played Asterion in Baldur's Gate 3. Sean, I'm going to be honest. I did not know the in-season tournament was tonight, and I just watched the Game Awards because that was on at a normal time for sports.
Yeah, I mean, these
that
games
started
were not
at 4:30. What time did the Pacers game start on the West Coast?
It started at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, that's a normal time for a game to be on. What time did the Lakers game start, Sean?
I think 6 p.m. Pacific,
yeah,
6
p.m.
Eastern.
On Thursday? Yeah, that's a normal time for a basketball game to start.
In the NCAA tournament. And I don't really understand why these games had to start 4.5 hours apart. The Laker game really started at like 6:30, though.
Yeah.
So I guess they wanted to do it like a tournament or summer league. I have a couple observations from this. Now, first, going to a basketball game at 2 o'clock on a Thursday is weird, even for Las Vegas,
yeah,
to the point where they were giving away a lot of like they posted a buy one, get three free. I think that was just a mistake. I think they reversed the terms.
It was supposed to be buy three, get one. All right.
But did you, if you watched it, it seemed like they were trying to hide the fact that there were not very many people in the stands because the stands were extremely dark.
Like, it was 2 p.m. on a Thursday.
Yeah.
On a college campus. Kids were just getting up.
Well, it was
when that was starting.
I think it's at the T-Mobile Arena, though. It's where the Golden Knights play.
I thought it was at UNLV, but you're right.
I mean, that would have been better because it would have been a more realistic sized crowd, and they wouldn't have had to like make it a Disneyland dark ride on
also,
these.
Also impossible to even watch the games because of the court. I know that court looked like a 2K game. I hated it.
Well, and they had,
I did
they
love
had,
the game.
They had the Wonka logo twice on these special tournament courts that everyone will remember forever, including the origin story of Willy Wonka, one that we've already received at different places. And here's a weird thing, Joey. I know that
we promised we were going to talk about
basketball. Yeah. But have I just wildly underestimated how much people like Willy Wonka? Because you go to Vegas and there's so many Willy Wonka
slot machines. Yeah.
And people like that movie, but it wasn't like it was like that big a hit at the time. And then that Johnny Depp movie was terrible.
It made a lot of money though, Sean.
Maybe that was it, but like I just didn't even realize that Willy Wonka had become like this folklore thing. Of just like, oh, who could like, it's like playing Hamlet now.
I have a theory behind this. But yeah, first off, it's like playing the Joker, not Hamlet.
Well, the Joker is our Hamlet now. But yeah, I guess Wonka is like playing, I don't know, Othello. I don't know what
Richard the Third.
Richard the Third.
Yeah.
The Candyman himself.
No. Wonka is playing Bottom in A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yes, yeah, that's yeah. Right.
All right.
Our greatest comedians, Wilder, Depp, Chalamet, Bottom. If this candy has doth offended.
Stop it. Stop it. Okay. All right. But can we talk about, Sean, how much I loved watching Tyrese Halliburton just destroy Damian Lillard in an important basketball game.
It was hilarious. Yeah, they were getting so... The other thing that was very funny to me is TJ McConnell just wrecking the Bucks mm-hmm. by just knocking away every lazy backcourt pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ruled.
That was great. And then Halliburton kept getting steals, and then
Obi Toppin throwing down sick dunk.
Miles Turner like finally playing in like the right offense for him, where they're kind of like, you can go to the rim and go out to the 3-point line. You don't have to make room for Sabonis, who also was looking good, dude. I don't mean that as a slight against Sabonis, but you know, it's nice when your team like works together well.
Mm-hmm. I never mind. I was gonna be mean about the Kings for a second, but I'm not going to. They're fine. They're fine.
They had a very Sabonis had such a good mic'd up session because normally it's just guys like trying to make jokes or saying something, and everything of Sabonis was just him just talking on defense like a really enthusiastic college player. And I'm so not... all of his mic'd up stuff was like, hey, go there when they move. No, you've got to take an extra step and no, I'm behind you. Like, it was just like real boring fundamental advice.
I'm not buying the Kings until Sabonis gets rid of that little boy haircut he has right now.
What do you think he should do instead? I don't know. Part it like that.
But literally a little boy haircut. It's like his dad took him to the barber. And he sat on the high chair, and that's the haircut you get when you're a little boy.
By the way, I'd like to say happy Hanukkah to convert DeMontis Sabonis.
What?
I'm just saying happy Hanukkah to DeMontis Sabonis, the NBA's most high profile convert to Judaism.
Is he? He's Jewish? I did not know that.
Well, he is now.
Wow.
He married a Jewish woman who's pretty religious, and now he's very religious.
That's
wild. I believe his background is some kind of Lithuanian Orthodox church.
Do not tell the people of Sacramento that, because they have a bad history.
It is
Jewish
true.
Basketball players.
I believe he sponsored a Purim event last year.
That's cool.
In fact, yeah, Purim's the most fun Jewish holiday.
Still wouldn't call him the highest profile, though, convert to Judaism. That, of course, still belongs to Amari Stoudemire.
Oh, yeah, definitely in the league now.
Anyway, back to the in-season tournament.
Yes, Sean. The game was fun.
The game was awesome. The Pacers are fun. I hope they kick the shit out of the Lakers. The best thing that could happen with the in-season tournament is a really fun team wins it every year. A really fun team that's not going to win a championship. Like, if they had to name this the Don Nelson Memorial Cup, because that's the kind of team that keeps winning, or the Mike D'Antoni Cup, I'd be perfectly happy. That would rule.
Defense wins championships, but offense wins NBA Cups. Yeah. That's what we're learning, right?
Yeah. Love it. And you know what? Maybe the Pacers can win the championship. I don't know.
So here are two notable things that happened. Tyrese Halliburton did the Dame Time celebration.
So good.
And after the game, Lillard just acknowledged that, yeah, it's kind of rude to do that. So if you're constantly pointing at the other team and touching your wrist, you have to be okay with someone pointing at your team and touching their wrist.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any cool signature basketball celebrations anymore, Joey? Or are they just waiting? Are they just hubris?
Well, the coolest one gets you fined if you do it, but you should still do it every time you can. And that is, of course, the Sam Cassell's Big Balls Dance.
Uh-huh.
We haven't had one of those in a while because guys are too afraid to get fined.
The Mutombo finger wag is good. Tremendous. They never should have banned it.
Steph Curry night-night bad. Yeah. Dame time bad. Steph Curry Home Alone face good, though, but he's only done it once.
Uh-huh. That's funny.
When Drew Holiday would point at guys who got dunked on by Anthony Davis, that's the last cool. good
that's
one.
That's the best one, yeah, yeah. Because everything else is like, it's a little too calculated, I think, uh-huh. you know? It would be fun. Well, and Larry Johnson's The Big L was very good.
J.R. Smith air guitar, best one ever.
Yeah.
The problem is you have to be a guy like Jerry,
you can't
like J.R. Smith or Sam
yeah.
Cassell.
Mm-hmm. Because if you're too much of a star, it's too high profile, and it's just going to get like rubbed in your face mm-hmm. immediately. Whereas I would not even say that Tyrese Halliburton was rubbing this in Dame's face, but it's good to be was, like, I know good. What time it is. He's totally rubbing it in his face. What was I even saying when I began that sentence?
You know what another good one was, a good recent one? A good one is Too Small. I like Too Small when it's
correct.
Too
Small is completely meaningless now, though.
I know, that's the problem. But Too Small was good. Also, Russell Westbrook, I liked both Rock the Baby and when he'd holster the three guns when he'd hit a three.
Holstering guns is any gun-related something. And I'd say this, welcome back Ja Morant soon.
Dirk arrow was good. I liked when Dirk would do the arrow in the air when he'd hit a shot.
Yeah, Dirk is a odd superstar that also occupies like the J.R. Smith goofball mm-hmm. slot.
Yeah.
You might have to be European for that to work.
No, I was going to say Jason Terry's jet sort of worked in that way too, but not a superstar. I don't know why.
Yeah, Jason Terry got the Larry O'Brien trophy tattooed on his body before the season when that it's unimpeachable, but it is like a J.R. Smith move. And not coincidentally, it was at Deshaun Stevenson's house. Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about when LeBron used to do that? Like the pantomime chest push down step up. Remember the Heat one? Hey, didn't like that
was
one very
that was
much.
Weird.
It was weird.
It was just so weirdly choreographed, and mm-hmm. I was kind of like, "What's he doing?"
You know what? There is a good new one though, Sean.
What
Trey
is it?
Young's Too Cold is good, and the bow also good when he was bowing at
the
Knicks
bow
fans.
Is fine. The bow is fine.
But I like
Ice
Cold, cold
is not good. Too Cold is not good. You know why?
Because it was because his name is Ice Trey.
Ice Trey.
It's dumb. Ooh, yeah.
Ice Trey is like so you're like kind of dirty. People don't wash you enough. You're not as good as an ice maker.
Brand was not Ice Trey, Too Cold would be good. Do you know what I mean?
But instead it sucks.
You're right,
that's
you're
the
right.
thing.
Yeah,
it's,
you're right.
It's actually terrible. So the thing is, you shouldn't have a signature. You should just do weird shit to celebrate. You know what I mean? Like, don't have a thing you do all the time. Remember when James Harden was mad about the somebody else making stew? Uh-huh. Remember that one he did? And then he got, I don't remember who stole making stew.
Well, the first guy I ever saw the stew was, of course, JaVale McGee, the greatest innovator in things like of this nature.
Oh, yeah.
Of the early part of this
dunk
decade.
On two hoops. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. JaVale McGee is just an innovator. First man I ever saw with the mustache tattooed on his finger. Before white women stole that.
But I mean, boxed water, that's environmentally responsible.
Planking, first guy I ever saw plank, too. All right.
Okay, so one more thing that happened after this is
the Bucks learned what it's like to be teammates with Damian Lillard.
They did indeed. They were a really good fourth quarter team going into this game, and it wasn't great.
And then what happened, Sean?
Well, no teams could really make a three-pointer in the fourth, and then Indiana started stealing the ball, and then Tyrese Halliburton had a like hilarious clutch three because I feel like America had not seen like how he shoots when he has some time. They just, I mean, maybe there was a guard on the Bucks that could have come out and defended him a little more aggressively, but I don't want to point fingers at anybody. But his shot is so funny looking. It's like when because he'd been going to the hoop a lot and not shooting threes that much, and it was like he just threw up a three from his hip pocket to ice the game. It was great.
Yeah, that's one thing I want. I think that Tyrese Halliburton becoming a superstar should lead to again is not everyone having the same exact jump shot.
Yeah.
One of the best things in the world. You know what? Baseball, you too. Why does everyone have the same batting stance now?
Yeah.
A cool thing that used to happen is you used to be able to imitate people's batting stances and jump shots. Let's go back to that.
Yeah. So one thing about the Bucks, they've been doing pretty well, but they sort of don't have a coach. I'm just saying, like, so here's what happened after the game. According to our friend Chris Haynes, friend of the podcast, Chris Haynes, after the game, Adrian Griffin, like, get into the locker room, and he just immediately starts talking about how important it is to win the rebounding battle. Mm-hmm. And Bobby Portis just straight up interrupted him and said it was more important that the coach structure the offense better down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And then I guess he just, like, kept yelling at him, but not in a way that made Adrian Griffin mad. But it's weird that
we know
no offense to Bobby Portis, and Bobby Portis is great, but it's very weird that Bobby Portis can just be like, hold on, head coach,
well,
here's what we need to be doing.
I actually don't think that's a problem. I think that's probably actually a normal thing that happens to basketball teams, and the not normal thing about it is we know exactly what both parties said because someone told a reporter.
who is it that has a relationship with Chris Haynes?
Oh, I don't Milwaukee. Know. I don't know.
There's not a lot of contacts there.
But yeah, well, that weird to me is the weirdest part.
And they described like the story is mostly about Bobby Portis, but then there's a whole paragraph about what salad that an unnamed Bucks guard was enjoying was weird.
And also people have been mad at us before for being too hard on Chris Haynes. And look, Chris Haynes is not the problem.
Nope.
There are certainly worse journalists than Chris Haynes, but the thing with
people
Chris
who
Haynes
name
is
their
there's
podcasts less creatively than hashtag this league uncut.
But there are certainly worse people at like they're Woj and Shams do worse trading. The thing with Chris Haynes is he only tells one guy's story. And it's just so obvious and weird. And I think if you're the Bucks, this has to be like a weird kind of wake-up call, because I have this feeling they were yelling at Coach Bud all the time about not doing stuff correctly, and we just didn't hear about it.
Right, you're right, because they're...
because yeah, the most there? Clutch player in the league had to distract everyone from the fact that he lost another playoff-style game.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, I think that's what the award's going to be. It's going to be like the NBA cup, but with like a needle and thread going into it. Because I think we know what snitches get, Joey.
All right. All right. The Lakers beat the shit out of New Orleans, Sean. Yeah.
LeBron going really hard. I just think it's sad that the NBA hasn't figured out how to make these games in early December more meaningful. You know, I mean, New Orleans like didn't even try.
You know what I did like
just,
about
they
tonight?
Just laid down and lost by 44 points. Joey, if there was not hundreds of thousands of dollars at stake, how much would New Orleans have lost by? Like 70? Oh,
a great question.
Because they lost by 44 points and everyone was healthy. Yeah, like 100 points. It's within the realm of possibility.
My favorite thing that happened tonight, and I mean this actually not sarcastically, unlike everything else I say on this show.
Okay.
Is I really liked Shaq talking about Zion after the game, where Shaq was not mean about Zion and was like, I was him. I also didn't have any moves and just counted on being physical and more physical than everybody. And I had to learn how to be a basketball player.
Yeah.
That to me was very sweet. And you don't get that from Shaq very often.
No.
Normally
yeah.
he's like using coded language to call people slurs or whatever.
It's also really, you've seen the Shaq multi-part documentary, right?
Yeah.
It's funny because Shaq seems to, and people kind of back this up, that he was like pretty bad at basketball when he was like 15 or 16.
Yeah.
like and not against real competition either. It was like
in Germany.
Guys on a journey, like other high schoolers in Germany were like clowning Shaq. So that's amazing. And yeah, TNT was really rough on Zion on Tuesday. Although Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith were both saying like he should be really great, but then they said that they were counting the times that he sprinted, and it was once in the whole first half. And then and Barkley took a different tone than Shaq, but kind of ultimately the same, where he just said like the greatest thing that ever happened to me in my career was that Moses Malone told me I was fat and lazy and needed to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he doesn't have that guy, but they were more calling Zion fat.
Yeah.
Shaq was just saying he needs to learn some skills, but I got to say, Joey, I was trying to be very positive about Zion this year. You know, I said that and I just don't think it's just going to be this, you know,
I kind of think he needs to go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because you feel like the Pelicans like have drafted pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you got Trey Murphy, Lake, got Jose Alvarado, got Herb Jones. Like they're doing a good job, and then their stars just aren't really stars in the way you'd want them to be stars, I think.
Yeah,
but I gotta say, I'm very happy that Jeremiah Robinson Earl and Kyra Lewis Jr. both got a taste of that sweet IST action. Congratulations, guys. They're going to be able to tell their kids about this. And I got to say, congratulations. They had the best plus mine. Oh, nope. I'm sorry. Dyson Daniels in 17 minutes in a 44 point loss managed to be plus two.
I kind of
so
like
congratulations
Dyson
to Dyson Daniels. Yeah, me too.
Sean John Hollinger, can we talk about his tweet,
please?
John Hollinger tweeted something correct, let's be honest here, which is that the Lakers made the in-season tournament final without facing a single good team. I don't know. He said he tweeted without facing a single team in top 15 in BR's SRS rating, including facing teams 24, 27, and 29 in group play. The Pacers, on the other hand, played teams 1, 2, 5, 15, and 18.
Yeah, the Lakers swept group play, and those teams were not great in their group.
And you know who had a problem with this Hollinger tweet?
Probably another basketball expert or something, right?
Yeah, he is a basketball expert, I think. He's the creator of Deadpool.
Oh.
Rob Liefeld.
Yeah. I'll say, the Lakers look like they're in a tough group when you just look at it.
Yes.
Memphis, Phoenix, Utah, Portland.
Mm-hmm.
Portland clearly is, you know, just, you know, 4 points behind the Golden State Warriors on the road. So pretty bad. Yeah.
Back to Rob Liefeld.
Sorry.
Though.
Yeah. Rob
he's
Liefeld.
Been tweeting a lot about basketball.
Yeah.
And my new goal is to get Rob Liefeld on this podcast.
So he's the creator of Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Domino.
Yeah, he also, yeah, more importantly, he once joined a super team called Image Comics with
that's right.
John Romita Jr. Our man,
Todd.
Todd. Yeah. Our man Todd.
Team
Everybody's
McF,
favorite.
Baby.
The pride
of Eastern Washington University.
What I said he was John Romita Jr. was in Image Comics. He, of course, was not. My mistake. I meant Jim Lee. All right.
I just learned what he looked like just now.
Rob Liefeld?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks like a corrupt politician.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I want to ask Rob Liefeld which members of the 2016 Golden State Warriors were which creators of Image Comics. All right. I'll tell you right now, Eric Larson, that's your Klay Thompson, baby. All right.
Now I got to say, I think John Hollinger is going to have to start drawing basketball players with the knives clipped to their thighs.
Well, we forgot to say what Rob Liefeld tweeted.
Yeah.
Which
sorry.
Tweeted Hollinger's tweet and said, here comes Hollinger with his sour grapes.
Which is so weird because that's not what sour grapes means at all.
Well,
sour grapes is when you get something and you don't get something, and then you say that thing would have sucked if you'd gotten it. It's incorrect on every way.
Mm-hmm.
He did also repost legendary Canadian Hooper expert Ball Don't Stop.
Mm-hmm. Yep, of course he
Someone
does.
Someone should write a piece about that.
No, Rob Liefeld, you should write a piece about that. Rob Liefeld is a Hooper, man. His takes are pure Hooper Laker takes, and it's Laker fan takes, and it is hilarious because, look, I want him on this podcast so bad. If you know Rob Liefeld, we want him on this podcast, but also don't tell him I said this. His comics are dumb. And
what?
His basketball fandom is just like his comics.
Oh my God.
And I love it. I appreciate it. You know what? He just wants to see big dunks, big muscles, and huge tits, baby.
Joey, who is the cable of the NBA?
Oh, all right. So he's got to be a child of an NBA player, right? But also
is he Scott Summers' son from
yes,
the future?
Yes, he is. He's Scott Summers and Jean Grey's son.
Okay.
But he's also like got to be a grump.
Uh-huh. And he's from the future, but he's somehow old fashioned.
Oh, it's Kobe Bryant.
It's Kevin.
Kobe Bryant was a grump, dude.
He was
and
a grump.
He was trying
he was
to be
met
Michael Jordan, and Cable is essentially a mutant Punisher.
Yeah. I mean, he's not really jacked enough, but I get it.
Cable's
NBA standards.
Really jacked. You mean Kobe Bryant was? Well, for the time, he was jacked.
I guess relative to other Liefeld creations, Cable was not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, he's not dead. Like, he's bigger than Deadpool, sure.
Yeah, but... Deadpool's different. he's fun. Do you think Rob Liefeld ever contacts Ryan Reynolds to suggest one-liners?
Absolutely, dude. He rules. Look, I want Todd McFarlane. I want Rob Liefeld. I want Jim Lee. I want as many members of Image Comics on this podcast as possible. But seriously, if you know or can contact Rob Liefeld, excuse me, I was dying even thinking about it. If you know or can contact Rob Liefeld to come on this podcast and talk about basketball, please help us out. Tweet at him. Get him on this podcast.
Let's go.
Do not tell him. Look, and I meant that as a positive. I love big muscles in my comic books, and I love slam dunks too, buddy. You can come on and just talk about how much you hate John Hollinger. I don't care. You can talk about anything.
That legendary Captain America drawing he did.
Everyone look up Rob Liefeld Captain America and stare at it for this portion of the podcast. Go ahead, Sean.
The original artwork was auctioned off 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago for $132,000.
It's my favorite picture of Captain America with tits and a flat face. I love it. All right. Sean, is this our episode? Oh no, there's actually an important thing we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Adam Silver wants to commit more crimes.
He had a big week. Okay, so Adam Silver praised Henry Kissinger on Pat McAfee's show, and I typed that sentence, and it makes me want to punch me in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the Adam Silver quote. I'll give you the important parts. He was not asked. Let's just make it clear. He was not asked about Henry Kissinger.
No.
Pat McAfee asked if Adam Silver felt he had an obligation to be part of international relations. Because they were talking about a viral video of monks playing basketball. And Adam Silver said, "I get pulled in, though not always in a positive way. I will say I was reading a lot of those long obituaries around Henry Kissinger's death at 100. He was sort of an exemplar of one of the great global diplomats."
Yeah,
okay.
He read zero obituaries about Henry Kissinger because every single one was like, "This fucking guy died." So he read the one in the New York Times.
The one in the Wall Street Journal. Yeah. Maybe one in
Nation or one of those. Yeah.
No, he did not read the Nation.
Not the Nation. The other one. Why can't I think of what's the conservative one that's like the Nation? It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
I mean, he was reading, Ben Shapiro's obituary was pretty good. He read the one on Stormfront. That was a pretty good one.
He read the War Criminals Monthly one.
The Economist, who was horribly burned by napalm in Cambodia.
Was thinking of The Economist. Thank you for saying that's the one he actually read was the one in The Economist. All right.
He also got a good one in Crimes of London. That's a good one. Yeah. Okay. So then Adam Silver goes on to say, "I, of course, believe that we have to have a strong military. I'm a big believer in it. At the same time, call it soft power or call it diplomacy through sport, through culture, through arts, it brings connectivity together with people of diverse cultures and backgrounds. Basketball is one of those sports.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, says, the whole time Pat McAfee is going like, yes!
Yeah, he's right, like the, tear those sleeves off!
Yeah, he's like the Jack Nicholson meme.
Yes. He says, I'm a sports executive. I'm not a diplomat, thank God. But I think the things that we do around the world are participating in these national games, Olympic games, by taking our games globally, by bringing international players to the United States, by showcasing the very best, by people seeing our values of the game around the world, these principles. I call it like the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
What did that sentence mean, Joey?
It means that he's going to bomb Cambodia in 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, much like the NBA, international law allows some more powerful actors to say travel whenever they want, mm-hmm. or indiscriminately bomb a civilian population. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Just I'm spitballing. And now here's what he says. It's interesting. The World Cup of Soccer was in Qatar. 200 mm-hmm. countries participating. Everyone accepted those were the rules. Mm-hmm. What rules does he mean? Whatever was going on in those countries, whatever autocrat or dictator, whoever was running those countries. By the way, it's not a secret who's running those countries.
He didn't have to say this either.
No. Anyway, his question was not about this. Everyone accepted on that pitch, on that soccer field, when the ref made the decision, they may disagree with it, but those are the rules, and a winner was declared at the end of the tournament. By the way, Adam Silver's very clear on who's running that country because he approved mm-hmm. the Qatar Sovereign Wealth Fund's
mm-hmm.
purchase of a portion of the Washington Wizards. It's also mm-hmm. Monument Sports Entertainment. And pharmaceuticals or whatever mm-hmm. that company's called.
And Discord House.
Yeah. I guess he's saying that even if you have a dictator, you follow the rules of soccer. But when he brought up Qatar, it's like, no, there's a royal family. It's actually very clear who's running
yeah.
that country. And you just accept that.
Also,
the rules.
Slaves built that stadium. Those no, were the you, rules.
You got to accept those are the rules. You just and that sort of sports teaches those values.
Yeah.
And then he says, and just lastly, this is an issue in the United States, but really for the whole world. Even though we're seeing more prosperity in many places, you're continuing to see issues around childhood obesity, diabetes, and in many cases because kids aren't active. And I got to say, can we lay off Zion Williamson already? Come on. You're the commissioner. So Adam Silver is like probably a really bad person, I think.
Uh-huh.
Ultimately.
Yeah.
Like a really bad person.
That's been obvious the whole time.
Yeah. Anyway, and he went on Pat McAfee's show. Like, uh-huh. why would you even talk about the world? Well, because he's going, because we're going to get a lot of money.
He's soft launching the Qatar Supersonics, dude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's true. They will be in the UAE again next year, and the FIBA World Cup will be happening in Qatar in 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Falconry, the number one sport of Qatar. They also had, what did they call it? Joey, what's it called when there's like child jockeys? This is not a racial slur. These are literal jockeys who ride camels mm-hmm. is what I mean. But they did recently replace the possibly slave children who rode the jockeys with robots.
You mean so, the camels?
Good
Wait,
sport
they with- have robots that ride camels there?
Yeah, because it was pretty dangerous for children.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine. There's a reason. Anyway. All right. My God.
So Adam Silver. And by the way, just one extra thing. Adam Silver also, after the embarrassing Scott Foster, Chris Paul rivalry, Adam Silver said that he'd talked to everybody and they told him it wasn't acceptable. They needed to just be professionals, even mm-hmm. if Scott Foster was determined not to let Chris Paul ever win a game that he was officiating. And then they asked Chris Paul about it, and he said, I've never heard from Adam Silver since that incident happened. Mm-hmm. So he's also a liar, just like Henry Kissinger.
Mm-hmm. You know what I have to say about that?
What's that?
I've just got to say, here comes CP3 with his sour grapes. All right, fuck Adam Silver. Well, I guess we're probably never going to get anything from the NBA then, now that we've said that. But that wasn't going to happen anyway. Sean, if you could pick one war criminal to run the NBA, who would you pick?
Very good question. I would pick Barack Obama.
He'd do it, too.
He would.
That's his dream job, right?
Oh, yeah. But I wish... I was just thinking how funny it would be if we'd gotten like Ronald Reagan's Spotify playlists every year. Like, that's his job now, is just mm-hmm. giving like summer mixtapes, reading lists, yeah. union busting,
mm-hmm.
podcasts, just taking Netflix's money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for sure, dude. I, of course, am choosing Champ Ferguson, who was the Confederate guerrilla leader sentenced to death for killing civilians in the Civil War. Because if I'm hiring a war criminal to run my sports league, I at least want him to have the balls to do it himself. all right. Again, fuck Adam Silver, fuck war crimes. That's our episode. Sean, is there anything you'd like to plug?
I would plug that Shang Wang show at the first week in January, but tickets are selling fast. There are only tickets available, I believe, for Sunday, mm-hmm. But 10 shows in Sacramento. So if you're just in Sacramento and you want to like get lunch or have coffee or walk through that park that has a lot of trees, just let me know.
Yeah. Let him know.
I'm going to be there for a while.
5 days
in Sactown. If anybody knows Slamson the Lion, let me know.
Man, I don't want to hang out with him. He was looking rough the other day in that close up.
They've been like they've been trying to hype that golden retriever guy from the golden. The arena can't have a mascot. Slamson.
Okay. And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz. We're on 9/11/2014. I tweeted, another day, another MRI. Sean, did you write a song?
I have two in the chamber. I'll hype them. There's a TLC song coming, and there's a killer song coming. But this week, I think we should play a Luca song, a blast from the past, a Kink song just called Luca.
Great. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Don't lie about reading a Henry Kissinger obituary if you're going to praise him, you fucking idiot.
I saw him at a club called Real Madrid, where you drink sangria and it tastes just like a Sambuca. S-A-M-B-U-C-A. He threw an alley-oop to Gustavo Ayon, then he stole the end zone's pass, and the crowd as one chanted Luca. L-U-K-A, Luca. Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luca. Well, I'm not the world's most analytical guy, but the stat projections made me almost cry. Oh, my Luca, Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luca. Well, I'm not dumb, but I can't understand why he dribbles like a pawn and rebounds like a big man. Oh, my Luca, Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luca, Lu-lu-lu-lu-Luca. Well, Europe had Doncic mania.
He dominated with Slovenia. I looked at x-rays of his injured knee and said, Atlanta Hawks, won't you trade picks with me? Well, I'm not the world's most creative exec, but his crossover dribble made me see success for my Luka. 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 I called Travis Lank. He wanted Trae Young. I threw in a one. I pitched him the deal. So he picked a five and me a three. Well, that's the trade that I wanted to make, and it's already a steal. For goodness sake, I got Luka. Luka. Wings will be bigs and bigs will be wings. It's a modern positionless free ducko thing, especially Luka. Luka. I went to Hawaii to clear my head, and I've never been high cause I'm straight edge. But my dad smiled and handed me a joint and said, little boy, play Luka at point. Well, I'm not the world's most nationalist man, but Anthony Randolph is Slovenian, and so is Luka. 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 Luka.